How is everybody doing? Hey, Callie, it's going down. Hello from Milwaukee, land of the Brewers and the Bucks, and occasionally the Green Bay Packers. We're in some Utah, South Carolina, Missouri, North Dakota. I should sing all 50 states for you in alphabetical order sometime. I will sometime, not today. You love everything green, Greg? You do. Green hearts, man. That's awesome. All right. I have to apologize to some of you. So here's my apology. I have several things to apologize for all at once. Denise and I have been publishing books now since 2012. I quit working as a paramedic in 2015 after publishing, I don't know, I think six books, and I became a full-time writer. The thing that Denise and I have learned about publishing books is at the time that we actually publish a book, it gets very intense for us. We get very busy. We are working with manuscripts. We're emailing each other. We're trying to get text flowed into InDesign, and we have to do editing and fitting documents because we self-publish. We prepare all of our, she does the book covers. She does all the flows all the text into the InDesign documents and then uploads them. And we do all this editing and fixing and correcting and finalizing everything to try to make the books as the best that they can be, right? And we have learned that during the process of publishing these books, it just takes an enormous amount of time. And it is very involved. It is a full-time job. We get up in the morning and we go to bed at night, and all we do is work on the books that we're trying to currently publish. Now, we haven't published a book in almost 2 years. So I have been able to be on Twitter and email and the website corresponding with people. When we are publishing, it's very difficult to do that. I've been ignoring all my Twitter messages for a week. I am now getting caught up with messages people sent me on June 2nd. So I apologize that I have not been very responsive on email and messages, but we are trying to, and we're not trying to just publish one book, we're trying to publish two. So we have the Q book coming out, and we've got a novel coming out. Novel is going to be published first because the cover is done. Q book will be second because we don't have the cover finished yet. So I want to apologize because when we are in publishing mode, it is the only thing we focus on. We do not meet people for social events. We do not go out to dinner with people. We don't do any, hardly any socializing at all. There just isn't time. And I've been getting emails and messages from people who are coming to the Phoenix area and they want to get together and they want to go to dinner and the reality is we don't have time. When we are publishing books, we don't have time to do anything but have a cup of coffee in the morning and try to find something to around the house to eat between working on the books. It is very labor intensive while we're publishing. So we just don't have time, a whole lot of time for socializing, unfortunately. And it's very difficult for me to set aside, 3 or 4 hours to go through emails and private messages. So just like I said, I'm apologizing because I am also, like Pepper Potts, a recovering people pleaser. And if that's okay with you, I'm going to get caught up on my messages. I will get caught up on emails. I think I'm caught up on emails this afternoon. But just want to let everyone know it's a very busy time for us when we're publishing. And after we get the novel published, we're going to be publishing the Q book. And that is going to be even more involved than the novel because the Q book is going to involve a lot more formatting and more editing. So it's going to be a month for Denise and I. It's going to be 3 or 4 weeks of just breakneck trying to get all this stuff done and not having a lot of time for personal interaction, unfortunately. Now, Jenny Wilcox is on here. She can attest to what I'm talking about. She knows, as one of our longest friends on social media, She can tell you what we're talking about. All right. So I have something else I want to apologize for, sort of. And that is getting messages from people who have been challenged by some of the things that I've been saying about God. Especially the broadcast that I did where I talked about that time I met God the Father. And people were kind of like blown away. They're like, wait a minute. That is not the God that I learned about in church. That is not the God that anyone's ever taught me about. So, and I'm not getting a lot of pushback per se. I'm getting questions from people who have not had that kind of relationship with God. So let me go back and just, first of all, tell you that I was an atheist until I was 38 years old. Not only did I not believe in God, I was very hostile toward Christians and people who did believe in God. I was in their face arguing, slamming them, being very obnoxious. I was a very obnoxious atheist is what I was. I was a Darwinist, okay? And I was not quiet about it. As much as I talk about God now, I bashed God and people who believed in God back then, before I came to know him. All right. I was obnoxious. All right. So when I was a child, though, I was raised Catholic. Okay. And I have a lot of followers on Twitter and Periscope who are Catholic. And that's cool. No worries. Lutheran, Episcopal, whatever. A lot of them have a somewhat different experience with God or a different perspective of God than I have. And I just want to say this. All right. So I was raised in the Catholic Church. I knew the Catholic Catechism. I went to Sunday school. All my brothers and I, we were altar boys for a long time at most of the churches that my family and I went to. My dad did he was one of the guys who read the readings from the Gospels and stuff like that. I mean, we were kind of the normal Catholic family, large Catholic family. All right. And at the age of 12 or 13, I had seen a lot of hypocrisy in the Catholic Church. People kind of coming in and they had this form of religion, like wearing their nice clothes on Sunday and acting nice and all holy and everything. And then all week long, acting like they didn't know anything about God. Lying, stealing, cheating, getting drunk, doing drugs, you name it. Just lots and lots of bad behavior. Except on Sunday. When we went to church, we got all dressed up and we looked all nice. And then we did our little church thing. And then all week long, people did whatever the hell they wanted to. All right? And as a young man, I saw this hypocrisy in the church. And it really struck me as something I couldn't support. I just didn't understand why people pretended to be all holy on Sunday and then you see the rest of them the rest of the week, and it was just weird to me. It seemed like a phony belief system. It just didn't resonate to me as being authentic. So I told my mom and dad when I was 13, I'm not going to church anymore. I'm done. This is hypocrisy and I'm done with it. And I walked away from the church and I did not go back, and I had no interest in God and no interest in the church until I was 38. And I just want to tell people who follow me on Twitter and Periscope, look, if you come from a Catholic or Episcopal or Lutheran or whatever, you know, church background you come from, I understand that. I understand the perspective. What I would suggest and what I would ask you is, and I'm asking people this who are messaging me, what have you had in the way of personal experiences with God outside of attending church or attending church functions? What have you actually experienced with God personally in the time that you've, you know, been practicing whatever denomination, whatever religion you believe? What are your personal experiences? Do you have any personal experiences? Because I didn't. When I left the church at 13, I really had no personal experiences of God. I knew a lot about religion. I knew a lot about when to stand, when to kneel, when to sit, which prayers to pray, you know, all that stuff. But I had no understanding of a personal relationship with God. Once that personal relationship thing kicked in, I was like, this is crazy. This is nothing like what I expected. I thought that it was all about religious practices. And I learned pretty quickly it really isn't, at least not for me. My teaching and the things that I share with people on social media and the things I write about in my book, books, plural, it all comes from personal relationship mostly. I mean, I go to the Bible and I see the experiences that the apostles had and that the prophets had, and I understand, you know, scriptural context, but the scriptures, without a personal application, is kind of a form of dead religion. I mean, you just look at the scriptures, and I saw this message from a guy who responded to my broadcast about that time I met God the Father. He said, well, I don't think it's biblical to say that you actually met God the Father. Is that even biblical? Well, look, the Bible does say, Jesus said, no one at any time has met the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son has revealed him, right? Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me, right? So your experience with Jesus is actually intended to have you meet the Father. Jesus is the representation of the Father. And when you meet Jesus, one of his purposes is to introduce you to the heart of the Father. So anyway, moving along, I've had a lot of very interesting personal experiences with God. Because coming from an atheistic background, if you enjoy going to church, go to church. By all means, go to church. I'm not criticizing that. I'm not criticizing going to church, attending church services. What I would say is if all you have is church attendance and no personal experiences with God, I think there's more for you. I think you're missing out on something. Because the personal experiences I have with God are as funny and rich and amazing as the experiences that I have with my wife. They're just crazy. They're awesome. They're amazing experiences. And so don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't go to church. I am saying if all you do is go to church and you don't really interact with God, you're missing something. Because God is a very personal being who wants to have conversations with you, who wants to talk with you, who wants to show you things, who wants to work through you to affect the lives of other people in the world for the better. That is his desire, is for you to be his hands and feet in the world. And he will show you specific things that he wants you to do. Now, let me give you, God has a great sense of humor. Oh, he has an amazing sense of humor. Pepper Potts can attest to this. When I went to North Carolina, to Charlotte, a couple years ago, to be on the second, that my second show was Sid Roth, It's Supernatural. Pepper and a couple of our friends, they met us in Charlotte, and we were hanging out, and it was more than a couple, it was about 20 of us. We kind of take over the hotel there in the lobby, and we're just having a good time in the glory, in God's presence, praying for people, talking about dreams, talking about things that God's doing. And I was there with Pepper. And I was telling her about this experience that I had, about the time that my friend, Michael King, prayed over my hands, and he made gold dust manifest on my hands. Now I say he made, well, he just prayed, and God, the Holy Spirit, manifested gold dust on my hands. So I was telling Pepper Potts about this, and God said, don't tell her, show her. And I was like, oh, you mean pray over her hands to have gold dust manifest? So that's what I did. I said, Pepper, put out your hands. And she put out her hands, and I put my hands underneath hers, and I just prayed, and I asked God to bring his glory upon her, to bring his presence upon her, to manifest his presence, to manifest his glory. And I prayed for about 3 or 4 minutes, and you could see flakes of gold dust appearing on her hands. Her mouth hung open, and she was like, what? What the what? I can't, what? She was flipping out. She couldn't believe that God's glory was manifesting on her hands. Now, I didn't have gold dust or glitter or anything, but a friend of mine had done that for me several years earlier, and I was just telling her a story, and God said, I want you to show her. Just show her. Just pray over her, and I'll make my glory manifest on her. So Pepper got red-pilled about the glory of God, a personal experience with the glory of God. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen that, but it is amazing, the things that God does. When I pray for people to be healed, many times they feel his glory, they feel his presence. They feel tingling all over their body, they feel warmth, they feel heat, they feel a lightness, they feel a joy. I always ask God to bring his glory, bring his presence on people when I pray for them. And they feel his presence, even if they're not healed. They always have a personal encounter with God. Because God showed me in a dream one time that I was, in this dream, I was praying for people in the hospital. There was a doctor, there was a child, and there was somebody else. I was praying for 3 people. And in the dream, God showed me the main thing he wanted me to do was pray that they would feel his presence. And I was praying for them to be healed. But I knew in the dream, the main thing he wanted me to do was pray that they would feel his tangible presence. They would have an encounter, a personal encounter with him. That they would feel his presence and go, wow, what is that? I just feel something strange around me. And I would say, well, that's God's presence. He's here. He's with you. And he is touching you right now. Right? So whenever I pray for people to be healed, I pray that they would feel his presence, feel his glory, because I want them to know that they know that they know in their mind that God is real. Not, I don't want them to believe some religious idea is true. I want them to personally experience God, his personal experience. That is what it's all about. And those of you who have been following me on Periscope and Twitter, a lot of you are following me because of my Q decodes. And we like to red pill normies about Q and about the deep state and about corruption around the world in politics and entertainment and media. And we want people to know the truth. We want to red pill people so that they understand the truth about all this corruption. But we also, I'm the red-haired stepchild in this whole movement, the Q movement, because I am very reluctant. I'm a reluctant convert to the idea of the deep state and, you know, the pedophile, human trafficking, all corruption, global corruption, all that stuff. That is not something I've ever been interested in. I've not studied it. I haven't researched it. It's not my thing, not on my radar. People send me videos and links all the time in private messages because they think I'm a conspiracy theorist or they think I'm a truther, and I'm not. I am not a truther. And I don't watch those videos because I'm not a truther. That stuff doesn't interest me, right? Most of the other people in this movement are truthers. I'm not. Now, I got involved in the Q movement because God gave me dreams about Q. And he's like, I want you to focus on this. You need to learn. I'm going to red pill you about corruption and human trafficking and all the other stuff that's going on. So as I've been getting red pilled about all that corruption and stuff that you guys already know about, now I am red pilling you about God. You are getting red pilled about the reality of God, His love and His goodness. And I'm going to tell you, I know people are anxious for the Q book to come out. I am too. I really want this book to be launched. But I'm going to be honest with you. Most of you need to read the novel way more than you need the Q book. You do. The novel that I'm going to publish is going to help a lot of you understand things about the nature of God that you never conceived of, that you never thought possible. It is going to red pill a lot of people and help them understand the truth about God. That's the novel. Like I said, a lot of you are following me because of Q, but I think a lot of you probably need to read the novel first. The Gates of Shiloh. That novel is not available yet. Denise is working on it, and it should be out in a couple of days, hopefully. But there are wants and needs, and I know a lot of you want to read the Q book, but a lot of you really need to read the novel first. It is going to help you. It's going to help you understand yourself. It'll help you understand your destiny. It'll help you understand the reason why you were created. It is going to help you understand. It'll help you, I think, unwrap yourself from a lot of lies that you've lived with your whole life. It is going to severely challenge worldviews. As much as Q challenges the official narrative being pushed by the mainstream media, my novel that I'm going to publish is going to challenge some narratives that a lot of you are believing. It's going to challenge you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The book is going to push a lot of people into confronting some things that they've always been taught, they've always thought about God. It is going to be challenging. But I think at the end of the day, I think it's going to help a lot of people. Yes, if you're not challenged, how else will you grow? That is correct. All right, The Gates of Shiloh, that is the name of the novel. It'll be coming out soon. Knowing God is the ultimate red pill. That is correct. Nothing will red pill you like that. All right, I am going to get going here. I got to make Denise dinner. Just wanted to get you all caught up. No dreams recently, other than that one dream I posted on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw this, but I had a dream the other night where there were a number of organizations that popped up that seemed to be supporting Donald Trump in 2020. But I could see in the dream that these organizations, as time went on, I could see that these organizations were set up to confuse new followers of Trump and to divide the base even more than it's already been divided. It seemed like these organizations were actually set up by some other agency as a Trojan horse. So I think as we move toward the 2020 election, we just need to be very discerning about especially new groups of people that pop up on the radar that seem to be supporting Trump. We saw this in the last election. There's a lot of, you know, fake MAGA, people that jump on the bandwagon, wanted to be all about Trump. And then the first time Trump did something that was unexpected, they kind of got exposed as not really being all about Trump and MAGA. They had their own agenda. And to be honest, a lot of those people were really all about building their own platform. It was about getting clicks, building their audience, building their platform, and riding on the coattails of what Trump was doing. They weren't actually all that interested in supporting Trump. And every time Trump does something surprising, shocking, different, those people expose themselves. And if you're discerning, you'll know who they are. All right. And we're going to have more of that. We're going to have more people jumping on pretending to be all about Trump. And they are here like wolves in sheep's clothing to divide and to hurt people and to probably grow their own platform, make a name for themselves. All right. Love you all. Take care. Gonna get out of here. I'll catch you on the next broadcast.